I don't want that sound.
You might not want it. There are people who might.
You don't like the sandwich?
No, I don't want the sound of me eating it.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Jeez.
Wow. Ben's a new man.
I'm telling you.
Coming out of the woodwork.
Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, are we ready?
5, 4, 3.
And welcome to Passions for Life. We're your hosts, Natalie Z and Travis Schultz. Pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching, Passions.
Passions.
Hi, Ben. Hello. Ben Hayes.
Hi.
Ben Hayes is here with us every time.
That's right.
Except twice.
I mean, who knows what the future holds?
You never. Well, indeed.
Indeed.
Well said.
So today is post.
Today is post the announcement.
Yes.
Of,
so Sunday,
of
October.
Our president-elect.
November 8th.
Yeah. November 8th, 2020.
The Biden-Harris victory.
We're all a little punchy. And although I'm not hungover, I probably deserve to be.
I think we all deserve to be.
Right.
I'm still drinking.
Yeah.
I'll admit it.
Drinking.
No one knows what time it is. It could be.
Yeah.
Could be drink. Could be cocktail hour. It could be 11 a.m.
Right.
No one knows.
All we know is that that guy. Is going to lose his job.
What would you say if you had to make a quote? If you had to say to him something that was, I don't know, like a catchphrase, what would you say?
Oof, jeez. I don't know.
It's been nice having you, but you're no longer needed. Your services are no longer needed.
Something a little shorter. Something like a little more like catchy, like.
You're fired.
Oh.
That's a good
There
one.
You go.
Yeah.
All right.
That was my joke.
Better than
yours.
Than Alec Baldwin. Better than my joke?
No.
I do anti-comedy these days.
Okay.
That was a loser.
It's a her. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Hi. I mean, it's just a new dawn. It's a new day.
Yeah, words are hard to come by because we've been like clenching and we've been scared and anxious for 5 years now.
And
And honestly, this pod has really been nice.
This pod has helped distract us, and hopefully, you guys, whichever way your sail blows, I will.
Either way, we're all in it together.
I will say that I'm going to air some dirty laundry here and say that I do watch Passions 2 episodes at a time. So I don't know why that's dirty laundry.
Yeah, that's not a scandal.
It kind of is, guys. Mm. It's the rosé talking. so I just want to use the caveat that I watched today's episode, which is 365, along with next week's episode, which is 366, on election night around 9 or 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I will see. We'll see if there's anything written on the page. Ben, talk to me about fashion.
Yeah, let's talk about what you're wearing.
Yes. So let me just paint a picture.
Yes, please.
A word poem.
Please.
I'm wearing an Adidas black tracksuit.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Never seen you in this.
I've never owned one before in my entire life, the exception of maybe when I was a teenager and like going to PE class. I didn't really have a sweatsuit, which it evolved. It used to be called a sweatsuit. Now it's called a tracksuit. No one knows why. But I realized after we went for Val's, the producer's, birthday, social distance birthday gathering.
That's right.
I was like, I put my jeans on and you know, they still fit. It's all good. But what I realized was that winter is coming. I'm working from home. Don't really need to wear jeans, but it's too cold to wear shorts. What would one person do? What does one do? And I thought,
tracksuit. A kilt.
A kilt. Still cold.
Okay.
Doesn't address the cold problem. My house is drafty.
It's made of wool.
To the ankle.
Right. So I ordered a tracksuit.
Okay.
Mistakenly thinking that I thought it was like all together, but I ended up having to order it separately.
Oh, man.
Like it arrived and I opened it up and it was just the jacket.
You can't
have
that.
Where are the pants? Why are you selling separates, Adidas?
You can't have a sweatsuit without the suit.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You can't sell it that way. Give me a tracksuit. Here's your jacket.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Well,
that's what
and it was
do.
My assumption. I clicked on it because anyway. But also, funnily enough, Eddie, our friend Eddie, has the exact same one. And we're going to have a kind of a walk-off, like a catwalk.
I can't wait for that.
Exactly. Should I get one?
Yeah. Monica has one. Amy's wearing one.
Oh, Amy has one.
I have one.
Is it Adidas
though? No, it's old.
It's old school.
Oh, yeah?
It's Hummel. It's when it was like that German off-brand. I got it when I was on the football team. Mm. And when I say football, I mean soccer.
Football.
And it was all like in the soccer team, we were always trying to like get the most out, you know, rarest.
The most European.
Right. The most like European version of it. And I found this one. I don't know how I found it. How did you find stuff like that back then?
You went to stores, I
catalog.
Guess.
Yeah, catalogs. Oh,
catalogs. Catalogs. Yeah. Yeah, soccer catalog.
The mall?
Yeah, from a like soccer magazine, and I still got it because I just like attached to it. So
you still have it?
Can I see if it fits?
Yeah, please do. Well, and I talked to Robert, my friend Robert.
We'll fit around the waist.
and he has gone down the same path, but he encouraged me to look into the Lululemon tracksuits.
No.
All right. Well, you know.
Are we moving on?
I'm not going to encourage that.
I'm with him.
I mean, Robert is a great guy and all, but. Ah, oh, man, that's
going down a path.
That's a whole other path. And they are comfortable from what I hear.
From what he has heard.
And I read about it in the
fashion magazine.
But, you know, we don't have to dwell on this. I'll surprise all of you whether I do it or not. That's the kind of surprising thing
that I'm excited about.
Well, you were surprised when I walked in today. Looking like some sort of royal tenenbaum.
Surprising stuff. Like, I want to know the name of the new bachelorette. I don't want to know the name of the fucking postmaster general. I don't care.
That guy.
I mean, I do care. I don't want to care.
I think we're all with you that, and unfortunately, now the lesson I'm learning is that we have to care.
We have to continue to know the name of the postmaster. I know.
It's the only way to change.
It's been a day, guys. Let me have
Yes, we're all taking a breath here, which is nice.
And a drink.
Thank you, Ben.
Yes.
Yeah.
For
my trap rant.
Your fashion commentary.
You wear it well.
Thank you.
I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I immediately took it out and I said, Amy. This is the new me.
This is the new me.
And she said, meow.
She said what?
Meow.
Yes.
I can't roll my R's. Otherwise, I would do the.
But I thought you were saying meow. Like
Catwoman.
I was trying.
Oh yeah. Julie Newmar?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about some passions.
Okay, Gramps. All right.
Yeah.
Travis, is there anything that you would like to. It doesn't matter. Okay. I mean, unless there is, it seems like you're chomping at the bit to get to the meat.
To the meat of the show. Yeah. Let's get into it. I mean, I got stuff, man. Let's talk about
show. We're playing fast and loose today, people, so
fast
bear with us.
Yeah.
All right. Episode 365, Passions.
365. It was a Monday episode.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank God.
You know, so you knew how that goes in the... format.
Oh, right. I don't know, man. I think they really strayed from the format.
Because the stuff happens Monday and Friday. Remember? It's Tuesday.
Okay, all right.
There was stuff that needed to happen.
A lot of stuff happened.
Yeah.
It's a big episode.
Yeah. Do we want to cover the one scene of Teresa and Whitney saying the same thing over and over and over again, chopped up into like, you know, four or five scenes?
I think you just did.
Oh, great. Let's move on.
My big question about that is, where did Teresa learn about this technique to change someone's mind?
May I quote, cooking a wonderful dinner and setting up the place with pictures of her and Luis? That's a can't lose.
Yes.
That's a can't lose.
And, just quote real quick. Did the pictures come in? They came in 366, not this one.
I think it's the next episode.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're still doing this scene in the next episode.
Brooke and Lindsay earned their money doing that.
Yeah, these are some of the hardest scenes
grueling.
To do because not a fucking thing is happening.
Right, you're just saying the same thing.
You still have to put the same amount of effort and enthusiasm into it.
And I thought Brooke did a great job because she just...
Oh, my God, she had to say this.
She had to, like, look... at her best friend and say, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And she called her crazy so often.
Every different way you
by
can.
By the second episode, I'm like, crazy. She's not a good friend.
No.
Because when your best friend is calling you crazy, and the whole time I'm thinking, this is your shit, Whitney. Mm. This is not Teresa's shit. Because you got this, you got this problem with Chad. Chad's into you.
She's projecting.
A pretty big question.
Very, very
so,
projecty.
Whitney.
Yes.
Is involved with Chad.
Well.
They share a mother.
Okay. All right. This is.
Well, that's.
Is this too advanced?
Possible incest. Absolutely. Okay. That's on
possible
the table.
Possible incest.
Possible incest.
That's the name of.
Absolutely.
The name of a good punk rock album? I don't know. Yeah. Cut that joke. That's dumb.
Possible incest.
Yeah,
I mean, that's on the table.
I mean, sure, you skipped over a bunch of things in asking that question, but we don't need to address
those
things.
All right, let's move on.
But, I'm
asking because maybe there's something I missed in the big gap.
Yeah, there was a lot you missed, and that is that we're just discovering, as the audience, as the viewers, we're just discovering that Eve had a baby at some point.
Out of what is that?
Love child.
Love child.
With
thank you.
Alistair or Julian?
Mm.
Oh God. Mm. Oh, shifty
guys
over here.
I don't know.
We don't.
Or any of those people? I don't know. We left the show, so we don't know.
No. We don't know. I mean, at this point in the show, we don't know.
Yeah. No. Nobody knows.
No.
And Chad may or may not be that baby.
Okay.
Right.
And
so it's an open question, though.
But they got to go to the hospital.
It is an open question. And they got to go to the hospital to get the DNA.
There's a DNA the whole fucking
Why
time.
Don't we just go to the hospital?
We'll just get everyone's private information, DNA type, and match. And
thanks, coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on top of it.
He should
have worked for the police department.
So that's Teresa and Whitney. There's nothing there.
Poor guys.
It really was very repetitive. I think you guys are really onto something that, which I'm sure you've had to play those scenes before where you're like, What do I do?
It's the grunt work.
You're crazy.
Yeah,
you're insane.
It's janitorial work.
Well, and you're out of your mind.
That's the thing.
You're unhinged.
And also how for Lindsay's case, she had to play over and over again, but no, this is going to work.
Yeah.
And there was no possibility of the writer saying, what if Teresa has this moment of doubt? And we put that in on Wednesday.
Yeah. A little bit of a journey.
Sure.
Right. And then she's saying, and then maybe, a little bit of a journey, a little bit of an arc.
Like,
and then she says, Whitney, this is all I got.
Yeah.
I got to do this, And then Whitney's like, I don't think it's a good idea. And then Friday happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
something, anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
But that's a lot of work.
That's all right.
Funeral.
Funeral.
Am I wrong, or was most of the episode funeral?
It was all funeral. It was Teresa Whitney back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then the rest is funeral.
Right. Okay.
I guess they end up at the mansion.
I think the next episode is mansion.
I think they're at the funeral. I have here.
What do you got?
What do I have? Something about loitering at this funeral. Oh, why are we all still loitering at the funeral? It just feels like it's time.
Yeah, the casket is in the ground.
The funeral's done. I'm not sure what the pull is to stay.
But this is the timeline thing. This is the timeline thing.
And also,
once you
built that set, you got to
It was a big set.
You got to use it.
Yeah.
In that big gray backdrop.
It's beautiful backdrop that looks
eating up dollar bills.
Like a backdrop. Something we never or rarely discuss. I mean, we discussed it during your first episode, Travis, but we don't discuss the direction of the show. And
there is?
What? There was one? Yes, and his name is Jim Saya.
Oh, this was Jim?
This was Jim. Of course it was Jim. And the only reason I know is because I noticed the directing. And Jim was one of our favorites. Well,
Jim took pride in his work.
Jim scolded me a couple of times, and he was the only one who did.
Scolded everyone.
Well, I took it personally, and I thought it was just me. I think he, like something, he scolded me for not writing down my blocking once. And I was like, what? No one does that. You know that. But he was upset because I got my blocking wrong and it wasted, a good 5 seconds of the day. So I held a grudge for about a week. But Jim was always the one that we felt he kind of had our back. And
There was a few others, but
there
were a few,
yes, Jim, he wasn't Jim, the only one, but Jim
was
sort of
the
stood
one
out.
That stood out the most because it was every time.
Yeah, he was very consistent with, you know, making sure that he, and again, like taking pride in his work.
Yeah, I always just was like, you know, here comes Scorsese to set. I mean, here was, you know, he was the guy that was like, I'm going to do some cool stuff.
And he did. So there's this shot that I don't think I would have ever, you know, I certainly wouldn't have noticed the first time around watching this show 12, 20 years ago. But there's this great shot at the funeral. So Julian is in the foreground. And Ivy is behind him. And so Julian is in profile. And Ivy is behind him, just like off to the screen right, looking, facing forward. And the composition of the shot is really pretty. And it reminds me a lot of this book that Travis and I just read called No End to Her, and where what the author talks a lot about directing the soap medium in particular, and we can get into that later.
She does it. She talks about how directing is important.
Yes.
As well as writing
and the lighting. Chemistry. She talks about the lighting of soaps in particular. But anyway, and maybe that's why I noticed it, because we had been reading that book. But so Julian leaves the shot and Pilar walks up and sort of takes over the negative space that Julian did, but not in the same position. So all three of these characters have very specific sort of placement in the scene and the shot. And it just seemed it seemed like he put great care into this one small little thing that I guarantee you, nobody noticed.
He had a vision.
He did. And I really appreciated watching it.
He would come in with these shots and these ideas. And I'm sure that's what he was. He was like, Pilar's replacing Julian here. You know,
I just never would have thought to do that in this environment when things are, it's all about get it done, and make the day. And
that's why we appreciate it.
Yeah.
He would come in and talk character with you. Mm-hmm. He would say, all right, he would say, this is a big scene for you, Travis. And I want to talk about what you're going to do in the scene. And I'd be like, What? Really? Oh my God.
This is what I've been studying for 10 years.
Yes.
My BFA in theater is finally paying off. Yeah. So it was exciting. Yeah. And, you know, he had blocking.
Mm-hmm. That's why he was upset that I didn't write it down. Yeah.
His blocking. Well, in order for his shot to work.
And now I get it. Blocking, like, he was like, bitch. Come on, write it down. There's like, you're a cog in a bigger machine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry that you haven't had your coffee yet, but
you had been, you were such a peripheral.
I was
cog.
A tiny cog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiny, little wing nut.
Tiny.
That's very cool though that you, I didn't notice that, but I was watching it last night.
Yeah. yeah.
But you're like, I like that we're getting to like the Criterion commentary track of the soaps. And what's great is that it sounds like this director, you know, like, took it seriously, but also is like, this is an opportunity for me to actually express my creativity. Because I think a lot of directors in television come in and they all take their job seriously. But it's cool when someone is like, I'm going to do as much as I can, given that there are some parameters because of the genre, you know.
Right. Yeah, it is, especially a soap. I mean,
yeah.
Look, I would say in working on Passions, and then working in primetime television, there's no difference in the type of directors.
There's really not.
There's the ones that come to work and that give a shit and want to do what they can. And television is difficult, just like soaps, because it's a writer's genre. And or what is it? Median? That's what I want to say.
Medium, yeah.
Medium, yeah. And the writers are king on set. So it's a battle. And then the other ones are just like, I'm just here to keep the writers happy and keep the actors happy and to make my day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which are both, both versions work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the ones that come in with an idea, maybe even a cool idea, they get a lot of pushback. They get a lot of shit for it from the actors and from the producers, from the writers, because, you know, it's a complex situation.
I mean, before I even went to film school, you'd always hear interviews with actors and they'd be like, oh, I love this director. He really knows how to talk to actors, or he's an actor's director.
Right.
What does that mean? I mean, because now having worked here for a while, I would go back to myself then and be like, that's a little bit of bullshit, but maybe it's not. I don't know.
Well, I would say Jim is an actor's director because he realizes he wants to tell his story And we are important to telling that story. So that's why he'd be like, this is this storyline is about what's going on with you in this scene. I'm going to direct it so that the audience is witnessing it with you. That's the story I want to tell in this scene. So that to me is an actor's director.
To me, it's the difference between a director who talks at you and a director who talks to you.
Mm. It's a collaborative process. Right.
I'm fine being talked at. I mean, it's fine. Like, what? I don't have a problem with it. I'm going to make my own choices anyway, and they're most of the time going to be right. Not in the house. That's right.
You can't talk at her or anything.
You know, Ben.
Sure. Ben knows.
You know. But it is great. It is great to at least, even if it's bullshit, to feel like you're part of the collaboration.
Yeah. When I was directing my thesis film, we had an actor from Los Angeles who came out to be the lead. And I was trying to be mindful of that, having read all these books about on directing and commentary tracks, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like trying not to give him a line reading because it wasn't the way I intended it because I wrote the script.
Right.
And I was trying to like get him there organically because that's what I believed.
Yeah.
He was so exhausted for like maybe 10 or 12 takes. He was like, just give me a line reading, man.
Seriously? Yeah. It's okay.
Sometimes it's okay.
That was an important learning, moment for me. But
the good thing is you started not there.
Yeah.
Right. You started with, I'm going to try to get you where I want you.
I think you did the right thing. I think you start out trying to direct somebody to use the cadence that you want.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get it, you say, do you mind if I know this is a thing, but can I give you a line reading? Yeah. 9 times out of 10, they're going to be like,
yeah.
Producers are going to want you to do it in the reverse order.
Right.
Right. And save time and money. Sure. And then we were shooting on film too. So, of course, my producer was like, TikTok, time is money.
TikTok. Time to give a line reading, buddy.
Yeah. These are.
Well, so thank you. Thank you, Jimsaya, for making that shot really cool because it took me out of my anxiety and gave me a little eye candy, if you will.
I want to point out something that brought me out of it as well. My hair.
Let's talk about your hair.
So bad.
Was it bad again?
I was just like, oh, there goes another mystery hairdo. Is he losing his hair?
Mystery hairdo.
Did he fall asleep and then wake up and walk onto set? Yeah, it was just so bad.
I think you're the only one who noticed that.
I mean, it was like we could not find a hair product that worked for my hair.
Bless your heart.
And it was just like hairspray all day. And it just went down, flat. Mm. And they didn't even, it was so bad.
And they didn't bother.
Yeah, I guess some Aquanet. Yeah, I guess some Aquanet, bro.
Yeah, they didn't.
Aquanet. Yeah, it was plenty Aquanet.
We should talk about the show.
I was a little distracted to notice your hair. Distracted by you. Do you want to take this line? Because you said it.
I do. It's an amazing line. Of all the people I've known, Sheridan is the most deserving of an afterlife.
Which coincidentally,
what the fuck
was what I got in high school superlatives. Most deserving of an afterlife.
Good for you.
It's a thing.
That is a very Christian thing to say.
Let's talk about it.
There's a theology problem here.
Let's talk about this.
Because there's heaven and hell, according to this one, there's just afterlife for those who deserve it.
Right.
Or nothing.
Right.
The great big nothing.
Right, the great big
nothing. Which is an interesting twist, and I don't know, there's no religion that I know of that says that in those exact specific terms.
It's harmony.
Hence why I was like, wow, they didn't even fact check this statement.
Yeah.
There's like, well, this is the way I think church is. And what is isn't the priest there?
I was going to say, the priest didn't correct you.
Nah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's not what we preach.
Yeah.
That would be.
Well, he was mourning. Yeah, he was in the middle of a
funeral. And it was funny because I thought, Ethan flunked Bible school. Like, he actually was the first.
Not for lack of trying, though. He studied
to
hard.
Flunk Bible school.
He's just dumb.
Bible school.
Well, do you remember saying that line?
Do I remember? I don't remember saying that line. Actually, I have these pings that I call them. I call it these, oh my God, I remember that moment.
Yeah.
Because I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This is not a Christian thing. This is, nobody would say this.
Yeah.
Especially a guy that, like, passed the bar. I mean, fuck.
Not a real deep thinker.
Not a real.
I mean, like, you guys are making me out to be like an idiot.
Yeah.
And that was just, that was part of the frustration.
Well,
that,
like, there's not a lot of care in some of these, as we have discussed.
Right.
And I have positive Val proof evidence. Actually, that's not. I conferred with Val last night about something I'm going to bring up when you're done talking about religion.
Okay, Valentine. Val is Valentine.
I want to hear this. I don't need to hear any more about him failing Bible school.
Okay, but
I'm sorry.
No, it's just like I wanted to do what Ben did with that line. I wanted to be like
what Ben Masters would do. Yeah,
yeah. What Ben Masters would do with Julian. I wanted to be like, well, but deserve an afterlife.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, honey, that wasn't
the character. Like when, there's no way you could.
But then it's like that's the only way I could deliver this line.
Yeah,
and that's why I felt so limited in my acting, because I just have to make a straight face and say this.
Yeah,
with feeling.
But this time with feeling.
Well, I just figured out what the grades are in Bible school, and they are deserving and undeserving.
Right.
There you go.
It's a D or a U.
Yeah.
Right.
And nothing else.
So, Ethan, you did not pass Bible school.
You are undeserving.
You got a
undeserving
U.
An afterlife.
Not going to the
but Sheridan did much better.
Because she's not dead.
Wait, hold on. What?
She's not dead.
Excuse me?
She's not dead.
There's oxygen in the coffin.
Let's
and
fucking talk about
wait, guys,
let's
say
shit.
One quick thing.
Yeah, please.
To defend my deafness. So I was at minute 9:10. Rebecca.
He's going to die on this hill.
Rebecca says to Luis, embrace yourself.
Yes.
Oh, for
yes.
Sure.
Embrace yourself.
I heard this.
Okay.
I texted Val with the YouTube clip. And I said, to double check. I want to make sure because.
Okay. Then this.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I have a note here. And
embrace yourself.
And a lot of the notes on this page, I often don't remember what they're referring to. But this may tie into it. I have a note here that says Galen and Andrea aren't great together.
Well, this is what I wanted to point out. This was exciting to me because it was
Galen,
one of those moments.
Galen finally had a scene with somebody that he didn't have chemistry with.
Well, yes, but also like this was exciting on the job, like on set where you were like, you'd go to work and you'd be like, Andrea, we got a scene together. Like finally, because you always, I remember being on set and you know, like with Jesse Metcalf, I'd be like, what do you think? How would Ethan and, Miguel get along? And we'd always be like, dude, we'd be bros. Miguel would be like, Ethan, let's go hang out. Let's go get some beers.
Yeah.
You know, and it was always fun because I would never, we'd never have, these storylines would never come, you know, cross. Like, you know, I'd be like, would Ethan, like, is he sees Charity and he's like, sorry, Teresa, sorry, Gwen.
Yeah.
Charity's beautiful.
She's
more like me.
Yeah.
She's a pure soul.
Now, do you think that this was Galen and Rebecca and Ivy's, what is her name? Andrea.
Rebecca.
I've had one
Andrea.
Glass of wine.
Yeah. This was their first just them.
Encounter?
Just them.
Okay.
It really showed because it felt draggy.
It fell so flat.
Yeah.
It was very draggy.
Okay. I'm so glad it wasn't just me.
No. Okay. It was like.
Embrace yourself.
I was like, see, there's no one's doing quality control on
no.
this.
But look at the scene. Look at the scene and what was supposed to be going on. He's trying to
embrace yourself.
And the rest will follow.
No, embrace. He was trying to play distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to play
twist her mustache.
Conniving villain. And that's like, how do you do that all day?
I'm going to take it away from the actors and chalk it up to, just playing two completely counterintuitive, what?
Well, she was,
you know what I'm
she
saying.
Is stalling.
I'm so exhausted.
The wine
she
is has won.
Stalling
the
in the most unconvincing way possible, because if she has this big bombshell that's going to blow apart, it's going to achieve her goal, right? Which is to separate Luis from, from who?
Teresa.
Lindsay from Ethan, right?
Yeah.
Teresa from Ethan,
Really to
So she wants to blow that up.
She wants to blow
it up. Why is she waiting? She doesn't get to the point.
It's Monday.
I know. That's that you would think the writers would come up with a more artful way. And
sure.
I don't I'm saying I don't know if anyone can do it. It's hard to do.
It's hard to do for an hour.
Yeah. Because she's like, I've got this big secret that's like five words long.
I think other shows do. Yeah. I just do. I mean, I remember watching other soaps and thinking, this is different from all that.
Yeah. But that's what was great. I think it happened in, did it happen in 366 where she starts saying, in 366. Then that's when she starts saying, the time in Bahamas. Guess where she works?
Yeah.
She works for
but
Ivy.
At the end of this episode is when she drops it. Like, so much happens in this episode. And I can't believe focus so.
When she reveals all that stuff, that's at the end.
It's
of this
at the
episode.
Very end.
That's when it got interesting because she finally had something to say.
That's true.
Not only that, I mean, not to skip around or anything, but the two big bombshells that were dropped in this episode were the one where Rebecca talks about, Rebecca finally tells this, gives this information to Luis. And then we get the whole Kaiser Soze of it all with Hank and Sheridan. I enjoyed this only because, not to be crass, but it's like, you know, being jerked off for, you know, fucking 3 months and finally being able to release yourself. it was just such an exhale to have something different happen.
Yeah.
So what happens is we get these flashbacks of Hank and Sheridan talking about this ridiculous, elaborate plan to fake her death.
Right.
And so, you know, all the questions, and which Mackenzie did a great job because she kept having to say, sorry to ask what if all the time, but this is my life we're talking about.
Right.
So she would enumerate all these what if scenarios, and Hank being so fucking Hank just is like, come on, man, we got this covered. I'm like, who the fuck is we?
Right.
He kept saying, I wrote it down. We've already, we've already got it rigged. Huh?
Yeah.
Who? Well, Sam? Well, is Sam a part of this? Luis?
No.
Luis is.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, because in the next episode he says, I need to call Luis and tell him it's time to dig her up.
I think the phone, we'll get to that. The phone call is, hey, I mean, surprise, bro.
I have a pretty good idea who it is.
Well,
in
366.
Who's working with Hank?
Oh. Okay,
no,
well, don't tell
they
us.
Can't keep Luis in on
no,
it.
No, Luis is
then I totally misread that.
Well, I mean, Luis is not an actor. He's a police officer.
Sure.
And you can't be both.
Luis, if Luis was a real cop, he'd be like, why are you doing this elaborate plan? Why don't we just hide and wait for them to show up?
Why don't we just arrest
kill
them?
Yeah.
Very complicated plan.
Yeah. I feel like Luis would be like, no, I don't want to do this because there's so many possibilities of it going wrong.
Yeah.
And he could be like, there's a 1% chance.
Right. It is a little bit like The Usual Suspects, which upon rewatch doesn't make much sense.
No.
Gotta rewatch that then.
Rewatch it. I mean, why if Kaiser says he had all that power, why would he just go fuck with the police? Anyway.
Well, no, I'll rewatch it again.
All right, we'll talk. I was watching this last night, a little bit drunk.
A little bit drunk.
I looked it up. There is a word called taphophobia, which is an abnormal fear of being buried alive.
Well, so she's definitely got that.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's not that. It's claustrophobic.
She claims that she's claustrophobic.
Yeah, she says that.
Nobody else did that research in the writer's room.
But what is she supposed to say? I'm truffle.
No. I'm just saying.
I'm truffle butter.
This isn't a substantive thing. I'm just bringing butter. It up because of Natalie's fear of locked-in syndrome. And claustrophobia and kind of combines together for taphophobia.
Taphophobia.
All right. Well, I did enjoy the montage of her and Luis doing all those things.
Yes.
Did they do all those things or was that? I'm looking at you even though you don't know because you haven't been watching it. Do you think that montage just felt very like, let's shoot a montage and change clothes a lot?
They did a lot. They did both.
Yeah.
They did both.
I think so, too. I think because I remember a couple of those scenes I remember seeing before.
Right. Because, I mean, I don't think they ever had a chance to do all those with Luis and Sheridan.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like a lot for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot. And also, especially because most of that year was them, like, fighting, getting together.
Yeah.
So that would have been,
There was one.
You didn't see the behind-the-scenes courting.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry, it's like that Community episode that's all flashbacks that actually never happened.
Yeah. No, that's the whole Sheridan Louise relationship.
Right. That's a relationship, right?
Can I? So, like the cinema of visual storytelling, we have this. You know, her. She's in the coffin. That she's having these visions.
Uh-huh.
And if I recall correctly, what should happen is you come back to the person having the visions, right?
Sure.
What I think happens, if I recall, is that we go to Hank at the dock.
And I'm like, when did he get to the dock?
Yeah. I'm like, is this a vision? And now whose visions are they? Are they shared?
Is it a flashback? Because
Sophisticated way of.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought.
Well, let's call Jim.
We're going to call Jim Sarah. And he's going to be like, guys, I know. I too had this issue because I'm like, what would that? And I wrote it down. I was like, what the fuck is Hank doing at the pier? Is this a flashback from when he was at the pier before talking to himself?
Right.
Nope. He's just there.
Right.
He's just there talking to himself now.
I was wondering if it was a way of like trying to subvert the grammar, the syntax of storytelling and say, well, now Hank's part of her.
Okay, so she was having visions, mm-hmm. right? Or, no, she was having memories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of their conversation.
Right.
And then it went to Hank.
Yes.
Right. So I think what the idea was linking them together.
That's what I thought too, but it didn't, it kind of only half worked for me. But
well, if it only half worked for you.
The
it's
other thing
that
is,
it stood out, yeah.
What year is this? Like 2002?
2001. Still. Ooh, 2000. We're still in 2001.
No, no.
No, it's 2001 because, no, it's 2000. Yeah,
it's 2000.
You're right. It's 2000.
This is only like, we're not at Christmas yet.
Yeah.
Because the little frosty window vignetting
uh-huh.
feels really dated now, but I feel like it might have even felt dated
then. It was.
Then.
Okay. Yeah, it was. There was another thing that happened in those montages that we had read about in this book, in the No End to Her.
Oh, yeah.
Where she talks about how when soaps came off the radio and went into the television, there were several elements that sort of changed everything. And one of them was the lighting. Mm-hmm. Another was the way that the way that it was shot, like in terms of like the camera angles. And with that came extreme close-ups of kissing and labial sounds.
Oh.
And yeah, I highlighted it. Not. Val knows. and I guess that was, I mean, who knows if it was intentional, but that was something that you hadn't seen. Like, making out in movies had been
Never.
Slightly more PG and not that intimate or, you know, intrusive. And I noticed it, and probably because we had read this, but I noticed it in those flashbacks, that there were definite labial sounds happening.
Huh.
Yeah.
Didn't notice.
Again, I doubt it was intentional.
Hmm. Well, now I'm going to, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, go back in. I'll watch The Usual Suspects. You watch the labial
right.
sounds.
Okay. But there's a lot of music under those scenes too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's not just quiet.
No. No.
Like eighth graders okay, making
you guys
out.
You're going to gross out, Val.
This is a gross one. Yes.
Well, no, I was going to say, do you guys have any favorite lines other than your,
I have another one. Okay. I want to say it was, Pierre, cause he was the minion and Roger was the Mestel Mind.
Also the writer of the thesaurus, the thesaurus.
Yeah, thesaurus, yes. Thesaurus. And he was the one who called, Louis. Louis. But, I love how Pierre says her real death.
Yeah.
Will be all your fault.
Real death.
And I was like, I was thinking how lame this is, a line to give to Pierre, because there was just no effort put into it. They could have written that the horrifying death of Sheridan's going to be on you. The suffocating alive death. Is going to be on you. You know what I mean? Like, there were so many evil ways to say this. Because she's basically going to die in a coffin, awake.
Yeah.
But they chose her real death.
So you think they're underselling it? For sure. The writers are.
I think they
gave up.
I think they gave up because it was just so...
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? He could have said... Pierre could have been like, and now she's going to suffocate... in a coffin to death, and that's on you, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then Hank would have had like, wait a second, what if that happens moment?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's...
What if my grand plan was stupid.
Right, right. To give him a doubt. You know, we're going to make sure she runs out of air.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Hmm. But yeah.
Yeah. Travis.
Missed it.
Yeah. Travis is upset about
opportunity. Missed
it. Yeah. I mean, that's again with the Sheridan line, it could have been something sweet and not so weird sounding.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we haven't spoken anything about Ivy and Julian. Julian with the envelope.
His mysterious envelope. Well, that plays a lot more in the next episode.
I know, too, but...
Right? I mean, I talked about his envelope in the last episode. Was you know, that was my college class that I would teach.
Yeah.
And I would only use that scene for the entire semester.
Right, right.
To teach acting.
Well, I have here that he was jerking the envelope off.
Oh, he was. Yeah. He was absolutely. I know.
That's the second jerk-off reference I've made.
Oh, I love it. He's like, I'm jerking you off with this.
Yeah, and also, I also mentioned how much I love Ivy's rage love towards Ethan. I love him more than anything in the world. Oh, like, man. Through clenched teeth. Real, like,
mommy dearest real. Shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rage. No, I always talk to Kim about that. I'm like, we got a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a thing. It's like, true. We got some stuff.
You have some
out.
Real history.
And she'd be like, oh, Travis, you're looking into it too much or something. I'd be like, I think I'm gay. I think I want to be you.
Well, I think so, too.
I think I want to be Ivy.
I think definitely. I think once Eric came on the scene that probably
that was gone.
That narrative changed a little bit, but right. Yeah, I think because it would have been fascinating to explore.
He played it stronger.
Yeah, well, he played it different.
Right. I would say stronger.
Okay.
You'd say different.
I say different.
I do have a funny little story about my duster.
Oh yeah, the duster, our outfits.
Oh, in the show, not the real leather duster.
No, well, not
yeah,
that
Travis
one.
Has an actual real
not
leather duster.
Not that one. I have it. Yeah. Ugh. That's a good story. Has to do with pageants as well.
Yeah.
No, so that jacket was a beautiful jacket back then. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of out of style now. But it was a wool cashmere, probably back then, $1,000 jacket. It was beautiful. And you put it on and you're like, you felt like $1 million. You'd never wear that in LA. But at the when I was done, wardrobe came out and they put all my clothes on a rack and they were like, look, you and Eric are different sizes, so pick what you want, just pull it out, set it aside, and we'll give it to you tomorrow on your last day.
They fucking did that for you?
Yes. So of course I went up to that jacket mm-hmm. and another leather jacket that I wore because I was like, these are fucking badass jackets.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I say my goodbyes yeah. and go to the rack. That jacket is gone. They were like, oh, no, but the leather jacket. Because they were just like,
yeah.
No, we're not going to.
Yeah, we can't.
We're not going to do this. And I was so pissed. I was like, man, that's fucked up.
Did you take anything else?
Yeah, I took stuff. I think I still wear, I still have a belt, I think, that I can still wear.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of coats. I think like just dress
yeah,
code.
They did that for me. I remember. Yeah, I took a bunch of Prada shoes.
But what they would say is whatever you want, and then you'd be like,
and they'd be like, oh, not that. I can't believe they let me take the Pradas.
You're letting me keep the slippers, Ethan's fucking slippers. Thanks, guys. I don't need slippers because I was
Oh, I get the JCPenney tie.
Yeah, they're like, good. Here's all the briefs. That you wore in all your, makeout scenes. Yeah. It was like, they're wool briefs because you're, we're in harmony in the Northeast.
Yeah, you're never going to wear them.
Yeah, like plaid briefs. You remember those? Those were very popular.
Never.
Those
were never
popular on our show.
Popular. I think a lot of the Ivy and Julian stuff actually happens in the next episode. But, no. I mean, I have a note here. I don't know what it means. It says,
oh.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm just looked at my notes. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, nothing. I was really not good at clunker. I somehow don't believe Julian here. What? Why do I write shit? Like, I was very distracted defense.
Okay. Well, maybe because you're distracted. But I'm sorry. I looked at my notes. The scarf that I'm wearing in that scene.
Yeah. You still have
it. I still have that. You took it.
You
wear it.
Oh, the brown one.
No. The gray one.
The gray one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still wear that.
That's so funny.
Oh,
I was like,
so cute.
Wait, I have that scarf still.
Oh, that's
direct
nice.
So I got tied to your history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fun.
Well, I think it was a line, my favorite line is from that study scene with Julian and everyone, I think.
Yeah.
The first one. Yeah.
Someone says, that night at the lobster shack when I was put in the magician's box.
What?
Yes, I do.
How did I miss that?
Was that from the study or was that... Rebecca talking to someone.
No, that's from the study. Who said that?
I don't know, but I was like, that's a show I want to see.
I wish that was in the, I mean, was it in one of the
episodes? Who said this?
I don't know. Like I said, I watched this last night.
Mackenzie? Did Mackenzie say it?
Yeah, maybe she, it was. She said it to Louise in a flashback.
She was claustrophobic. Right. That was explained in the claustrophobic. Right.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Oh man, that's a good one. But that's in the next. Oh, that was
no. That's in this episode. But I thought that line was good. I was like, that is like a whole story.
Yeah.
That I see playing out. Like,
well, listeners, if you can recall that scene actually having happened on Passions, will you just let us know? And if you.
I will say that never happened. That was specifically to reinforce the
claustrophobia.
The claustrophobia.
Why so specific about the lobster shack and musician?
Because
I mean,
I think you want the audience to be horrified,
but also like
to really feel for sure.
Just a whole adventurous side.
Yeah, you know, they got creative on that shit, but not with the her real death will be on you.
Yeah, but like,
there is a consistency about what they get creative with and what they like play with, and then the shit that falls flat, and you're like, hold on.
Yeah,
right, and that's why I think it was something that was shot later.
Hmm.
Mm.
Because it was, like, funny, weird.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
if you're going to suggest this, someone's history of claustrophobia, like that time I got stuck in the elevator. They didn't do that.
No, they did not.
No, anything mundane at all.
No.
The time I was trapped.
Yeah.
In the lobster. What the fuck was it? Lobster.
I want to see that.
Yeah. I want to see that.
Anyway, that was my favorite line. That's all I have for this episode.
I will say, I'm going to talk about it in the next episode more, but I think Kim's performance is really...
You have some notes?
I'm liking it.
Okay.
Like, I like it. But we'll get into it more because I think it's in the next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think there's more to it.
Well, with that, we're going to do a little housekeeping.
Right.
Is that what they call it?
Mm-hmm.
Housekeeping?
Yes.
Travis, tell the folks.
Okay, everyone. So in order for us to keep doing this because we love doing it, we need you to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That is our best measuring tool for, just knowing where we're at and knowing how much you guys love us. And also start emailing us. If you notice in the middle of the week, we do listener emails. You can email us at emailpassions@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at @passions4, and we're on Instagram at @passionsforlifepod. You know, make comments, tell us things that you thought about the show, share your stories.
We really, really love hearing from you guys. You know, we get a lot of email that don't necessarily have questions. Please know that we're reading those and we love those.
Right.
And even if we don't, you know, do it in the listener email or listener, it's listener email, right? The listener email.
Yeah.
It's not because we're not enjoying it or loving it or reading it. It's just because we're basically primarily answering questions.
Hearing about everyone's experience while watching this is fun.
It's been wonderful.
It's nice to hear and share it.
Yeah. And with that, we will see you. We won't see anybody.
We will bid you adieu for
we'll
now.
Bid you adieu for episode 366 next week. And folks, take care of yourselves.
That's right.
Yep.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Manifold.
Embrace yourself, Officer Lopez Fitzgerald.
What?
You're not listening to me.
No, I am. I am.
But this is very important.
You know, you're right. I'm not listening. It's just not a good time, okay? We'll talk later.
But... yes, we will indeed talk later, Luis. And when we do, you are never going to let your little sister near Ethan again. Then Gwen will become Mrs. Crane, and the keys to that golden kingdom will be hers.